Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday morning. We have a lot of great things to get to, but first I want to say good morning to my great co-host.
Good morning. Very, very kind intro of you. Excited to be here. Love a good Tuesday. Let's get after it.
Yes, for sure. All right, let's get to our 7-7 top headlines. So, Jamal Murray was helped off the court after an apparent left knee injury during the Nuggets game last night against the Warriors. He's expected to have an MRI after this non-contact issue. With an NBA season basically riddled with injury at this point, it feels like I hope it's nothing too serious.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's going to be the case. Dr. David Chow, the pro football doc, who does, you know, a great job, not just with the NFL, but he's had so much experience with all these other leagues. He seems to be fearing that this could be the end of Jamal Murray's season. This will have a massive ripple effect throughout the NBA, the odds, and we're going to break all of that down. But crushing news for Murray and the Nuggets.
Yeah, we'll talk about that ripple effect in our next segment. One positive thing, though, from that game, of course, is Steph Curry scored 53 points to pass Wilt Chamberlain as the leading scorer. This is his third 50-point game of the season, which is incredible, and ninth of his career.
The all-time leading scorer for the Golden State Warriors now is Steph Curry, the greatest Golden State Warrior of all time, even if he doesn't have a Finals MVP. What he has meant to that organization, what he has meant to the league, Steph, obviously a Hall of Famer, but that's been true for years. Legitimately one of the all-time greats, and he's having a spectacular season this year for the Dubs.
Yes, he is. And now let's switch it back to the Nuggets. Obviously, they dropped their past two games, and the markets for the MVP are now locked on the FanDuel Sportsbook because we know there was a race between Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, and obviously Embiid having a very impressive performance last night. But at this point, we can make cases for both of them. In the next segment, we probably will be able to, or in the following two segments. But just overall, these odds are going to change for Embiid.
They are. There is something specific about Embiid and the Sixers schedule coming up that can lend itself to this conversation escalating, but it's all going to depend on Embiid's level of play, and it's as good as ever. He's not missing a beat. Another 30-plus point performance last night against the Dallas Mavericks. Embiid and Jokic were probably the 1-2, along with LeBron, when everybody was healthy. LeBron's still not around, but Embiid is back. And he's going to be back in the thick of this MVP race with Nikola Jokic.
Yes, he will be. And let's switch it over to the field. Tyler Glasnow recorded a career-high 14 strikeouts over 7-plus innings as the Rays beat the Rangers 1-0. Glasnow was electric, allowing just two hits and one walk, and struck out the side in the first, third, and sixth innings.
I thought he was going to throw a perfect game at one point. I mean, he was just dominant. The Rangers looked hopeless. And you'll see this occasionally in Major League Baseball. A team will be up against a guy who has it working every which way. And they're screaming at balls and strikes because they can't get behind in the count. They have nothing to do. Glasnow was phenomenal. Phenomenal. He almost got the ground. But pitched long enough, 14 Ks and came away with a big win for the Rays there, 1-0. Glasnow's off to a tremendous start this year.
Yeah, phenomenal to say the least. And let's welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid and Sirius XM, Channel 204. Thanks for joining us. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Now, getting to the fifth one, the Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman has retired. His 12-year career comes to an end, saying in a video posted on Twitter, "I've always said I'm going to go till the wheels fall off." And they've finally fallen off. Edelman, of course, helped the Patriots win 3 Super Bowl championships and was the MVP of Super Bowl 53.
You know, it's so funny for Julian Edelman now, a lot of people debating Hall of Fame or not for Edelman. But for me, you just think about this run that the Pats went on. Obviously, Brady and Bill, the two guys that defined it. Gronk probably third, but Edelman right there in the conversation. And the wild thing is, he wins Super Bowl MVP the year they beat the Rams. There was no offense. They should have, I don't know, they shouldn't have given it to an offensive player. They could have given it to Sonny Michel, who I bet on, but that didn't work out. But I feel like his catch against the Falcons is really what you'll remember Edelman and the Super Bowl for. All in all, a key member to the dynasty in the 20th century of the NFL.
Yeah, we'll talk about this a little more towards the end of the show. And we have a segment about the NFL and some of the draft props and markets that are available right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. But continuing with our headlines, the NHL trade deadline. Now, there are some notable trades, and later in the show, we'll also have George Kurtz to talk more. Any teams, though, Kev, making some important roster moves yesterday?
Yeah, overall, just from the deadline, some of these teams in the Eastern Conference being aggressive. We saw the Islanders in the early beginning making some moves. And the Bruins just added Taylor Hall from the Buffalo Sabres for a return that people thought maybe was a little bit light there. So excited to get George's take on it. Of course, the NHL's trade deadline maybe not grabbing as many headlines as some other sports, but big moves, and we're getting close to their postseason as well.
Yep, and last headline in the Champions League today. Second leg of the quarterfinals will start. We have 4 matches today, another 4 tomorrow that you can bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now.
Huge, huge stuff for Bayern Munich, specifically trailing PSG. After losing that first leg, they now go to Paris as well. Plus money, Bayern Munich need the win. They will be popular. They just might get the job done, though. Excited for that one specifically.
Yes, of course. And coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk all things NBA. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Okay, have a lot of great games last night in the NBA. Favorites went 6-2 straight up, 5-3 against the spread, with upsets by the Wizards, Warriors, plus the Rockets, covered in a straight-up loss. But let's start off this segment with the Nuggets, Warriors. So, of course, a lot of things happened in this game, but the one most notable thing is Jamal Murray. He obviously went down that final minute of the loss on the drive to the basket. That right knee had been troubling him for some time. I know assistant coaches said it looks like he hyperextended it. Some other people saying it looks like it might be way more than that. He's averaging right now 21 points, 4 boards, and 5 assists. So what's going to happen with the Denver Nuggets? Are they going to be able to get these upcoming wins? Because obviously we're going to see the impact in the Western Conference futures and just the board, the leaderboard for them, as well as MVP markets.
So great point by you to just start off in the short term, because we've talked so much about the standings in the West. Obviously, there's a long term, but let's just say they get the best case scenario, right? The best case scenario, is this guy ready to go by May? I'm not sure. You look at their upcoming games. They're going to host Miami, travel to Houston. That's workable. Memphis, Portland, Golden State. It's not brutal. It's not miserable. It's a manageable schedule there for the Denver Nuggets. The difficulty, though, right now, of course, for Denver is, if Jamal Murray is not back for the postseason, and again, this could very well extend for just the remainder of the season period, is there a matchup now specifically in the West, you know, that is actually, you know, attainable that best suits this squad? Is perhaps this a team that is better off trying to match up with a Phoenix and dropping back a little bit? Or they're okay, maybe. We think that them playing the Lakers could make some sense all in all. Not that this team is really going to be able to dictate as much as we would thought, because, again, wins now could very well be a little more difficult to come by without Jamal Murray. But if we've talked about Giannis or Durant or LeBron's injuries through the scope of the seeding in these conferences, this certainly now could take a toll on Denver's chances to maintain a top four spot.
Yeah, and Denver obviously has just lost their past two games. And something that just came to mind for me was just Jamal Murray. We knew that this knee was bothering him. So why was he playing in that final minute of the fourth quarter? They weren't going to come back. It wasn't the game down to the wire. So I just feel, knowing that one of those players that you don't want to lose on your team, there was no reason at the end of that game to have him in. Personally, that's how I feel. I don't know if you feel otherwise. I just know that obviously this season has been riddled with injuries with some of the top players just all around. I mean, Jamal Murray is not LeBron or AD in my eyes, but still somebody that's important to their team.
Well, look, this is a Denver Nuggets team, though, Aaron. Again, they just came off a Western Conference Finals appearance. And you look at their season. Jokic is the MVP, favorite at the moment, right? They made a trade. They bring in Aaron Gordon. A lot of chatter. Nobody wants to see the Nuggets. Nobody wants to see the Nuggets. And an understandable take. But now without Jamal Murray, I'm just not sure that's the case anymore. Mm-hmm. You step back and you look at what they did last year in the postseason. And Jokic was excellent. That was very obvious each and every game. But it was Jamal Murray's performances that would typically turn the tide for them. Again, they had to come back from 3-1, not just against the Clippers, but in that opening round against the Jazz. Murray went 50, then 42, and then 50. Ultimately, in Game 7, he only scored 17, but that might as well have been 50 because the final score of that game was 80-78. Hope you didn't have the over. Very low-scoring game. He even then went out there against the Clippers and had his three best performances in Games 5, 6, and 7 with a 40-ball in Game 7 against the Clips. For as important as Jokic is, and it's undeniable, again, a great chance to win MVP, for as good as Michael Porter Jr. can be, for the excitement of the trade for Aaron Gordon, they need Jamal Murray to hit that postseason level, be a 25-plus point-per-game scorer for them when we turn it over to the postseason. And Aaron, it just doesn't seem likely now that he's going to be there. This is very, very damaging now to the Nuggets and their chances to try to come out of the West.
Well, I mean, that's why the Western Conference futures have been down. I mean, right now, I first looked at them at 5:30 a.m. Eastern this morning, and they're still not up. So there's obviously an impact. But why don't we switch it over to the MVP talk? Because I know that we had said in the last couple of weeks, Jokic might be able to take it now. He's at minus money. Embiid coming back from his injury. Obviously, we were thinking the game's off. Wasn't that he was going to be rusty, but just maybe that he would have missed too many games to win it. But now, considering everything with the Nuggets, we said the one thing for Jokic to really solidify his win in this market would be for the Denver Nuggets to be up there in the Western Conference standings. And there's a potential now that that's not going to happen. And it seems that the 76ers, obviously my favorite team, are sitting atop of the Eastern Conference standings. So it seems there's going to be a case for Embiid. But again, these markets right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook are locked up, as I'm sure odds makers are trying to figure out the best price to put these players at.
And by the way, for those not sure, are these correlated? They're both locked. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
And for the Denver Nuggets and for Jokic, I guess specifically here, as we talk about the MVP, there's kind of a give and take here. The Murray injury, and I know that people might not want to hear this, but it's the reality, it can work in his favor. They don't need to be the one seed or the two seed now. They just need to maintain. They just need to maintain. And people will say, look at what Jokic did. No Jamal Murray, final month, kept that team up there in the fourth spot. He's been the best player in the league all season and didn't miss any time in the way that a Joel Embiid did. But yes, it's certainly live if Denver struggles, who, by the way, they've just lost two games in a row. Like, we at some point probably will talk a little bit more, I guess, about the result of this basketball game. Lost two in a row. You know, they were missing Jamal Murray for four straight before he returned here against the Golden State Warriors. If Denver falls back to five, falls back to six, it's a little bit different all of a sudden now for Denver. I just wanted to make this one quick point here, Aaron. in the NBA Finals market. FanDuel didn't lock those, but they locked the West. I guess for them, it wouldn't have been worth it to lock the Finals, but the Nuggets and their impact in the West is a little bit more important. But if you just look through the Finals, it goes Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, and then Denver. And a considerable gap from Denver to Phoenix. So keep in mind, whenever those Western Conference odds do get reposted, to check back and see if the NBA Finals market has moved accordingly. If not, there could be some great value for you there.
No, that's a great point. And since we kind of just hit all of those markets, why don't we actually talk about this game, the previous game for the Denver Nuggets in which they lost. Obviously, the Celtics, they only had 87 points in that game. And this one, 107. But we do have to remind people who are just tuning in that Jamal Murray did go out in that final minute of the game. So he did play basically the entire game. They still lost to the Golden State Warriors, even as they were favored there on the road. So what are your biggest takeaways from the last two games as they seem to be falling down the standings, one, and two, just not playing great basketball?
Yeah, they've basically found a quarter of basketball where they just didn't look like they belonged on the court, which is odd because it shouldn't be the case. Again,
is that what we're talking about, this 8-point quarter?
Yeah, look, the 31-8 quarter that Boston put up on them in Denver was absurd. And then the third quarter in this game against the Dubs, they lose 43-22. I mean, they just get absolutely lit up by Steph. Their offense just doesn't have the rhythm. Now, the interesting thing is for a Denver team that have been playing a lot of, you know, basketball, not many days off. It doesn't feel like a lot of teams have a lot of days off right now. A lot of these teams seem tired. You know, Denver perhaps fitting the description after rattling it off 8 consecutive, maybe just needing to catch their breath, the second leg of a back-to-back. As far as this singular result goes, you don't sound the alarm, but it, more than anything, especially now with the injury news, you go, oh, I'm just not sure if top four is going to be achieved by this Nuggets team. In the way, we started to wonder, could they get up to the 2 seed?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, their next game, which is tomorrow against the Heat, will be a tough one for them. But then they have the Rockets, Grizzlies, Trailblazers, and then the Warriors again. So they might be able to hit a little bit of slack there in terms of some of those NBA teams. But stay with us here on the Early Line. We're going to continue talking about NBA after the break. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Kevin and I wanted to kind of wrap up this Nuggets Warriors talk with, of course, an impressive performance by Steph Curry, setting the scoring mark, finishing with 53 points. He becomes the Warriors' all-time leading scorer and style, hitting 10 threes to notch his 9th career 50-point game. Also want to note, Curry has recorded 30-plus points in 7 consecutive games now, the longest such streak in his career. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Warriors are plus 24,000 to win it all. I don't see that happening, but nonetheless, I mean, Steph Curry having a great season in terms of the numbers he's putting up right now.
No, he's dominating right now, no doubt about it, and they need him to. Okay, that's another thing that's clear. While this game was comfortable, probably by the time we got to the fourth quarter, I mean, Steph had like 30 at half, and they were losing. So they need Steph to be sensational. Perhaps a more manageable goal than this team winning the title is to make the playoffs. Yeah. Plus 154 is the yes for the Warriors to make the playoffs. Again, the play-in is going to be where the Warriors find themselves. There's some pressure being applied by the Pelicans, only a game back. Probably not too much pressure anymore from Sacramento. They've now lost 7 in a row, and they've really collapsed here. But that plus 154 number, let's just say they play the Spurs and then the Memphis Grizzlies. We know that the minimum, the Warriors will have the best player on the court in a single elimination type of scenario. So perhaps people could look to grab some plus money there with Steph Curry.
Yeah. And I mean, that's got to be so frustrating, though, for Steph Curry to be putting up these points. I mean, it's insane. It's honestly like the conversation we were having earlier this season about Bradley Beal and what it's like to be putting up those 50-point games and then not winning. And it's kind of crazy to think about a player being able to do that and not get those wins.
Yeah, it is tough, but it's the look. It's the reality of it, and in fact, it allows Steph to shine. I don't know if people realize this, but he sacrificed the opportunity to do some of this stuff to win titles, which was good. But it really kind of messed up where Steph could end up in the all-time rankings because he was never able to get a finals MVP. They went to Durant because Durant's a better basketball player than Steph Curry. He was never able to achieve the regular season heights that he once was able to, right? And I don't even mean, of course, just the MVPs and the records, but just the big, gaudy performances. Mm-hmm. Those left. And now he's doing this again because he has to. But the supporting cast is so much less than that now instead of one seeds or top four seeds in MVP races, it's, wow, this is great. I'm excited for play-in Steph.
Yeah, and giving him the opportunity, like you said, to shine. That's a great point there. Let's continue with some of our recap. 76ers, Mavericks. So, of course, the Sixers steamrolled them 113-95. Joel Embiid, dominant performance, 36 points in just 26 minutes of play to help Philly pick up the impressive road win in Dallas. Now, for Joel Embiid, there were some questions swirling after they played the Pelicans last Friday. He only had 14 points. He turned things around against OKC. And then last night looked to be in, you know, one of the best shapes of his life and a great dominant performance and a conversation that we already talked about in terms of him potentially winning the MVP. But the 76ers sit on top of the Eastern Conference standings right now. And what's interesting on the FanDuel Sportsbook is they do sit in third right now behind the Nets, who are -115, the Bucks +300. I'd ask Kevin in the break, have the 76ers ever jumped either of these two teams in terms of the Eastern Conference standings that you can bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook this season? And he said they have not, which I feel like at some point you have to give Philly their respect.
And ultimately, if they haven't yet, right, they're not going to jump Brooklyn or Milwaukee. That appears to be quite obvious. The question becomes, though, how long is the 6-1 going to hang out there for them? Because that's a big number, +600, for a team that could very well claim the number one seed in the East, which, by the way, they're now favorites to do. You might ask, I don't see that mark on FanDuel. Got to be creative here, people. Division winners. Odds to win the Atlantic Division, in which both the Sixers and the Nets are members of. Okay, Milwaukee is not going to be in front of either of these teams for the one seed based on where they are. The Sixers are -120 to win the Atlantic Division. Now, the Nets not far behind at -110, but still behind. Aaron, at +600, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, who holds a 20-5 home record, has to be an attractive option. It does, right? I mean, so that's the number.
I mean, you know, for the Nets, that's going to be at minus money. Everybody's thinking that they're going to be able to make the push, regardless of not even seeing that trio play together and all the things that are going on with Kyrie out for personal reasons and James Harden nursing that injury. I'm not surprised by that. It's more so the Bucks for me, because obviously we know how they can play a little bit inconsistent sometimes. And I know it's a team that I rip on, but still just in general. And the 76ers have been ahead of them. I mean, they're right now 4 games ahead of them. I wonder when they're eventually going to jump them, if they even do that, or what are the odds makers thinking with the Philadelphia 76ers of why they aren't jumping some of those teams? Do they think they're on the depth?
You know, I don't know what it is about Milwaukee that they can't jump. Brooklyn's the title favorites, right? Mm-hmm. Like they've
I understand
the Lakers,
that for sure.
Like the it's Brooklyn the love is quite obvious. The Milwaukee thing is odd. I mean, it is and it isn't, I guess. The Bucks have been the best team in the NBA for 2 years in a row, now going into year 3. Not as good in the regular season, but I still do believe that the Bucks' power ratings are quite high. I'll just make this point here as it pertains to the Brooklyn Nets and their futures markets, and specifically in the Eastern Conference, in which they are -115 to win the East. If the season ended today, Brooklyn would play, and I don't care about, look, the 7, 8, don't worry about that. It's not the point. They'd host the Bucks in a 7-game set, and then they go to the Sixers for a 7-game set. They will not be above -150 to win either series against the Bucks or the one in Philadelphia, because Milwaukee is probably going to be favorites in all of the home games against the Brooklyn Nets. If I'm going to be favored in 3 out of the 7 games, you're not going to be a minus 200 series favorite. I just don't see that being the case. And I think there's a world in which the Sixers are favorites in their home games, if not pick in the home games, if they do play Brooklyn. So instead of a minus 115 future with a team that has Harden now missing games because of a hamstring, Durant's injury situation is quite clear and obvious, and Kyrie Irving, look, no one's taking a shot here, but you just don't know if he's going to be there game to game and round to round. Bet if you're a Brooklyn Nets backer, and there's, you know, I'm sure plenty out there, if you're a Brooklyn Nets backer, series to series, do not bet them at minus 115 to win the East. It's not worth it.
Yeah, no, that's an absolutely great point. And I mean, now that we've hit on the 76ers, I did want to also talk about the Mavs, since they're sitting in seventh in the Western Conference and everything that's going on with them. I know they just lost two games straight, obviously this game and also to the Spurs. Before that, they're 7-4 against the spread in their last 11 home games, 6-3 against the spread in their last nine games overall. But there was that stretch after the All-Star break where they really turned things around. Do you think that they could potentially fall back into a slump again?
Yeah, you know, it's tough here. It's always tough when you lose the front end of a back-to-back with Philly waiting behind you, right? Because, I mean, the Sixers are the better team. And, if you know, Philly, I think, beat them 114-97 and now 113-95. So Philly just kind of clearly better by almost a similar, you know, the same margin each time. Both games at home, though, for Dallas will be a little bit frustrating. And that's the one thing, I guess, that can be a little difficult to make you want to buy in on a Dallas. It's just, see, they're so beatable on their home floor that even if they did steal a road game from you, you're so likely to get it back. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Kristaps not playing on the second leg of a back-to-back. You know, that's what we've come to expect. I just wanted to bring up something quickly with Embiid in this MVP race here, though, if I may. Because this game here against the Mavericks started a seven-game stretch for the Sixers. And I give Mid-Major Matt credit for pointing this out to me here. Seven consecutive games on national TV. Seven straight. They're going to play the Mavs, in which they just did, the next six. Home versus the Nets. Home versus the Clippers. Home versus the Warriors. Home versus Phoenix. And then at Milwaukee and at Milwaukee. Now, that is
the most insane
game stretch.
That is, I mean, very, very tough. But this is where they could potentially fall apart. If something goes bad in this, they start dropping all these games, or, you know, God forbid, injury or some sorts. I mean, Joel Embiid he's going to have a stand-up performance against all of these teams.
But that's the thing. If he does, then he might go and become the MVP favorite. Look at that. Look at that quality of opponent. If they leave that seven-game window still the one seed in the East, that will be incredibly impressive, right? You would expect the rest of the schedule that maybe lines up nicely for them, and it will be all eyes on Embiid. It is not insignificant that every single one of them is on national TV. Every single one of them. They're in the prime time spot for seven straight games.
Well, do you think more people are going to be on the MVP market than even betting the Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference? Do you think that's going to be more of the thing to keep an eye on over the next seven games? Or do you think those Eastern Conference odds are going to, you know, go down if Philly starts winning in that stretch?
Look, if they go 6-1 in this stretch, Embiid's MVP odds are going to shift, and their odds to win the East probably will as well. So it's something to keep an eye on here with that spotlight and big performances, and just up another 36 spot last night, Embiid is still alive in this MVP race.
I mean, yeah, that's a huge spotlight with those games. I mean, they're all going to be on national television. That's a great little tidbit of information for our viewers and listeners. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome Welcome back to the Early Line. Going to continue with some NBA recap. Hit a little bit of the previews that are now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Some of the odds are up, of course. Now, Wizards, Jazz. Anytime that the Wizards beat a team, it's noteworthy at this point. 125 to 121. Wizards hang on. End Utah's 24-game home win streak. Bradley Beal, of course, scoring 34. Russell Westbrook adding a triple-double as Washington stops Utah's, of course, franchise record home winning streak. Big win for the Wizards, Kev.
Every single time they do this, it's like they're going to go to the playoffs and win, right? Like they're going to be – I mean, like Westbrook, 25, 14, and 14. It's so funny. So I watched the end of the game, and I got the Jazz broadcast, and you can hear them like it's crazy that this team has only 20 wins. Like this may – like they're so much better than that. Russ wasn't healthy in the beginning of the season. Beal under the radar because we kind of put the Wizards away. We've not talked about the fact that he hasn't been very healthy. But they're just putting together, you know, a couple of results recently. And look, if we think the Raptors are live, and I don't know if we do, but if we do, and the Wizards are still live, I mean, the Wizards right now, two games back of the Chicago Bulls for the 10 spot. I don't think they can catch Indiana, six back of them in the loss column. But they could catch the Chicago Bulls quite possibly. And if they did that, again, we've talked about this with the Wizards, but the ability to have not one, but maybe even the two best players on the court in a single elimination set there, of course, is really exciting. Have to mention, though, quickly, Aaron, from the Jazz perspective, first home loss in 2021 for Utah. Wow.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I mean, the one thing I wanted to note about the Jazz is that Donovan Mitchell, obviously, he had 42 points, and they still didn't win. And then I was looking at the box score. They shot 48% from the floor and 42% from the three-point line. So they didn't have a terrible game, but they still lost to the Wizards. So is it a better win for the Wizards or a tougher loss for the Jazz?
So doesn't it feel like whenever we talk about the Jazz losing, it's because they gave up a buck 20? Right? Doesn't that always seem to be the issue? Like, and I wonder if is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is that a recipe for success? When we get to the playoffs, is the defensive intensity going to lift up here for the Jazz? I'm not sure, but I think it's noteworthy. And you know, teams that perhaps you know have high offensive ceilings maybe could be difficult for Utah. I'll say this quickly though, because you mentioned the Donovan performance. How about these last four games? 41, 37, 42, 42. Whoa.
But you still mentioned in the last couple of weeks that even with Donovan Mitchell putting up those numbers, in the come the playoffs, that he's not that player that is like a LeBron. So he's having great performances.
I mean, look, they've lost two of these games. And,
I mean, yeah, no, like, you're making great. I'm just piggybacking off how you have mentioned this before, how even though he's like great player prop to bet on, but in general, just not a player that could be potentially take you to an NBA Finals.
And here's the thing for Mitchell, and again, perhaps he can get there, but in the series against the Nuggets, he averaged 36. They lost. Remember that? Like, they lost that series. So it's not like, oh, look, don't worry, we'll get to the playoffs and then Donovan will average 40. No, you did that already, and you blew a 3-1 lead. Now, I get it, Bogdanovich is back, and this year's Jazz is better than last year's Jazz. I get all of that, but again, we just talk about Utah, and is this team, you know, a one seed with distance and nobody else can touch them? No, that's not the case. There's a reason why that they've never cracked the top two spots in the Western Conference odds.
And odds makers obviously think they're going to win their game tonight against OKC. They're favored right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, 17.5. And I have to mention this. Thunder are 1-6 against the spread in their last seven games playing on two days rest. 0-5 against the spread in their last five games against a team with a winning record. 0-6 against the spread in their last six games overall. Is this a spot with the Jazz on a back-to-back? Let's say OKC is able to put up some points, which I honestly don't think they will be able to. But do you think that they could potentially even cover this number?
Yeah, they probably will. They'll probably win this game by 30. The Thunder are a disgrace. I mean, there's really – they've covered one of their last 10 games.
To pack their bags
games.
And go.
Aaron, they got 13.5.
Tomorrow.
Okay, listen, you want to make the list of teams that got to go? The Thunder are top of the list, okay? I know we hate the Bucks. Like, they were getting 13.5 points to Phoenix. They lost by 37. They were getting 12.5 to Portland. They lost by almost 50 points. 50 points. Detroit rolled them. Charlotte, double digits.
When Detroit Cleveland, is rolling you, that's when you know it's
Detroit
it's over.
Rolled them. They played Philly that's the when other you day. Really know it's they over. Lose by 24. Like, if the Jazz don't win by 25, panic alarm, Utah's broken. That's basically the Thunder are a disgrace. More people should be angry about this tank job than the Eagles' Week 17 nonsense with pulling Jalen Hurts. This is awful basketball, and I'm not really big on this Utah Jazz team. I hope they obliterate them. I hope it's ugly, and I hope
so. You just want it to go.
Thunder should be fine.
As terrible as it can go for OKC, because you think they just are that bad.
I don't want this. This is what they want. They lost to the Pistons by 24 at home, and then followed.
I feel like you're talking directly to OKC
later.
Fans, as if they can like talk back to you and yell back at you and argue that they're not that bad.
No, the thing is, they know it, but they're like, "It's okay, we're tanking." This is disgusting. They lost to the Suns by 37, and they're like, "You know what? That wasn't bad enough. How about we lose by 48 points. What if we lost by 48 to Portland? I mean, the Jazz should win this game by 50. I'm not kidding.
Well, we'll see. So, I mean, if they don't, then we will be talking about it tomorrow morning, and you'll be giving your hot take on that, I'm sure.
If the Jazz lose this game, we're taking their odds off the Western. You want to talk about top of the list? Jazz lose this game, they're done. They're not even allowed to go.
We're
going to
cross them off. We have to honestly make a list. That needs to come out. We need to make a graphic for that.
They're minus 2,500, the Jazz, on the money line. What?
I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be taking that. I mean, you're going to obviously take them with
money line parlay.
Who's a money line parlay? Get an extra cent in your parlay there. I would never do that. That's one thing. I never put in huge favorites like that because, God forbid, something happens because everybody was not doing that with the Chiefs, and it was not worth it. All right, but let's switch over to some more NBA recap and then kind of preview this game, of course. Lakers-Knicks. Knicks winning last night, 111-96. Julius Randle leads the Knicks past Lakers for the third straight win. He had 34 points, 10 boards against his former team. Now, the one thing I want to note about this game, Kev, is yesterday you made a great point. The Lakers obviously beating the Nets over the weekend. Are they going to be riding high off that, too confident, or are they going to be slacking because, oh, it's the Knicks? And obviously in this game, the Knicks get the win and the Lakers walk away with a loss.
Yeah, and you know what? Ultimately, though, the spread closed up at 1. So I was pretty happy about that. Because when we broke it down in the morning, I was like, you know what? I think that number was 3.5-3. I think it should be closer to 1. So when it was, I was like, no, I'm good. I agree with the number.
Republican agreement with you.
You know, like we were all good there. The Knicks got the job done. They did so behind a really strong third quarter performance, winning that by double digits. The Lakers cut it to 5. And then the Knicks went on an 8-0 run. And really finish this game off here. But give the Knicks a lot of credit. They get themselves back up above 500. And Julius Randle's a legitimate star for this team. Also, just mental note, you won't be able to bet this again until next year unless the Knicks and the Lakers meet in the finals. That's not going to happen. Julius Randle's overs versus the Lakers, that's a narrative that works. He's still angry about his tenure in L.A., and he clearly shows out when he plays the purple and gold.
Yeah, and just want to quickly mention before we preview the Lakers-Hornets game that the Knicks covered, obviously, as a favor. They run a back-to-back there against the Raptors. Knicks are 6-0 against the spread in their last 6 games overall, if you want to ride that trend. Now, switching over to the Lakers and the Hornets. Hornets are laying 1 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Just want to mention the Lakers are 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 road games, 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 games overall as well. What do you like in this game, Kev?
Yeah, so we talk about spread math, and the Lakers right now are getting the same amount against Charlotte that they were getting against the Knicks. That doesn't add up. It doesn't add up at all. Knicks are better than the Hornets right now. Hornets are injured. Knicks are playing good ball. Now, part of that is, I mean, I hope people aren't doubting this anymore, but like, you lose points if you are on a back-to-back. That's how this works. That's very clear. It's been clear for a long time. The Lakers so far on a back-to-back during this stretch here, they had a second leg of a back-to-back against the Cavs. They won in cover. Then they were playing the second leg of a back-to-back against the Clippers. They got rolled. Different opponents here. Charlotte much closer to Cleveland, though. That's for sure. I would lean towards the Lakers, but I don't know who's going to be available. I don't know if Kuzma's playing a back-to-back. Dennis Schroeder's looked a little hobbled recently. So This is a game. The early line special could lead you to Charlotte. You might end up getting some negative Lakers ins and outs, but I would lean towards the Lakers if everybody was a full go And this game was still a pick.
Yeah, that's a great point. The Lakers are 4-0 against the spread in their last four meetings in Charlotte, so you might want to play that. But again, see who is available. And just want to mention the total. It's not posted yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I know sometimes here on the early line, we can't give you every single line because it's not posted. But just want to mention the under is 9-4 in the Lakers' last 13 overall, and the under is 10-3 in the Hornets' last 13 overall. So I would expect this line to be short, but maybe you want to play that if it is given a high total in this game, Kev.
Yeah, you know, it's funny enough, though. The Lakers snuck over the total yesterday against the Knicks.
With 111?
And Frank Nikita fouled Wes Matthews for no reason. Like, there was no time left in the game on a three. And Wes Matthews made two out of three. If he would have fouled them on a two, like, it wouldn't have got there. But there ended up being 207 in the game. So the Lakers have been able to cash a couple of over tickets recently. I know overall, though, they've been more an under team. But again, it's going to be a very low total. You heard Erin's disgust yesterday with breaking down the Knicks-Lakers total. She thought both teams should be banned from the NBA.
205.
I think there's some I think there's some legitimacy there. This is going to be another very low total. It'll be below 210.
Sometimes when I see the total so low, I'll go down the board and just look at them. And I'm like, okay, not going to look at that game. Not going to look at that game till the morning. Not worried about it. I just cross Good them ball. Off immediately because I could care less about that. But one total that's high right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook with the Celtics and Trailblazers. That's a 227 right now. The Celtics getting a point and a half. Boston, of course, has won three straight, five of its past six games after recovering from a 14-point deficit against the Nuggets and obviously dominating them, holding them to 8 points in that fourth quarter. But with the Celtics, I mean, inconsistent is a word that looms over them. So what do you like for this game, Kev? You think you'd take the over, given that both these teams can score, or do you think you'd mess around with the spread?
Look, a little consistency, though. Celts, winners of three in a row, close game with the Knicks. Then the Minnesota game was weird, got the overtime, but still a win. And then they covered in OT. And then the Denver game. And I still can't believe the way that Denver game went, but a tremendous effort from them. Yep. Here's the thing with Portland. I'm not going to make this rant every single time that we talk about the Blazers. I'll try maybe not to make it again until we get to the postseason. But the constant themes in the West is you don't want to play Utah. You don't want to play Phoenix. You don't want to play Denver. You don't want to play Portland. Mm-hmm. Wrong. Portland stinks. They're bad, and I don't want to hear it. Look at every single time they've played anything that resembles a good team, they lose. They lose ugly, whether they're giving up a bazillion points or all of a sudden the offense is gone, okay? So I would lean towards the Celtics here because I think they're still a decent enough team, and Portland doesn't know how to win any single time they play a good team.
Yeah, Portland's 0-6 against the spread in their last six games against the team with a winning record. So something to keep in mind, piggyback off what Kev said. Coming up next is our hero of the night. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line. Yesterday in Major League Baseball, favorites went 7-3 with the Reds, Giants closing pick'em. Only upsets by the Marlins, Nationals, and biggest by the Tigers over the Padres. Unders went 7-4. It is time for our hero of the night.
I have decided to use this morning's hero of the night to try and encourage a group who clearly needs it. You ever come home, sibling, perhaps, right? Gets a good grade on a test, brings home maybe a nice 93, a little pat on the back, a little jealous. Where's my pat on the back? We'll get a 93. That's what we're dealing with here. I hope the New York Mets and their trash lineup are watching this segment because the hero of the night comes from the Tampa Bay Rays Texas Rangers game. And no, it is not Tyler Glasnow and his 7 2/3 innings of only 2-hit baseball and 14 Ks. No, it is Willy Adames, who required to hit the only run of this game, a solo homer in the 7th. Timely from Willy, a homer that allowed Glasnow to actually get the win. It's all Tyler required from this lineup. Give me one run and I'll get the job done. Jacob DeGrom's been doing this for years. How do the Mets respond? They leave him stranded on second base as he's the only one getting hits. We come on here, the early line, make the case. DeGrom MVP, we should be bragging. We should be patting ourselves on the back. I got a 93 on the test with that take. But no, 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 no. It doesn't work because those bozos can't get a hit. So Willy Adames, hero of the night, you deserve it. How about a Met? Next time DeGrom's on the mound, someone step up, somebody hit a home run, somebody hit another home run, and then you can get a hero of the night too. Congrats, Willy Adames.
Look at this Kevin energy. Clearly his iced coffee is kicking into his veins right now throughout this segment. High energy there. Stay with us here on the early line. We'll be right back after the break.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
There. What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.